This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, aloha, everybody. We are halfway home on a... Today is Tuesday. Is that correct?
Correct. Even in Hawaii, it is Tuesday.
Even in Hawaii, it is still Tuesday. You've got Penny and Kiwi with Paolo. Those are our Hawaiian names. And thank you so much for tuning in to
Penny. Because I'm an island boy, and I've been trying to make... Oh, I'm an island boy.
We're singing it, me, Bo, and Taylor, yesterday when we landed on the island of Kauai. And it was quite the experience to get here. But, you know, as I texted you yesterday, Benny, very well worth it. You know, the destination... people always say getting there is half the fun, but no, it's not. When you land here, this is the fun part. I mean, this is unequivocally my favorite place on the planet. This house, this neighborhood, all of it. If you've ever seen the movie, The Descendants, George Clooney movie, it's really dark. It's very heavy, but the entire movie is filmed in a lot of the movie is filmed in Hanalei, which is right where we are. The Descendants' house is three houses down, the pier, the restaurants they go to. It is unbelievable. The best neighborhood really on the planet. I highly recommend if you have the ability to ever come to the islands, this is the one that you come to, Kauai and Hanalei Bay in particular. It is just incredible. So I'm here for the next, I think I'm here for 10 days. So definitely worth any struggles that it took to get here. I'm so grateful to be here. And of course, grateful to have the gear here to be able to do the show with Paul Reindel, the executive producer, and Ben Higgins, our friendly neighborhood sports anchor.
So I don't think I have been on a 10-day trip necessarily in my entire life. It's long enough that you can actually go. I'm not sure how much longer I have here. I'm always, when I'm on vacation, I am always hyper aware. All right, I'm here three nights. All right, I got two nights left. I got one night left. I am always hyper aware of how much vacation I have left. But you have kind of hit the point where I am now on vacation, and I will be on vacation for at least the foreseeable immediate future with no need to actually... You know, count down the days because I can truly relax and go, hey, you know what? I don't know if I'm here for 7 more days or 8 more days, but I'm definitely here for a while. So I'm just going to unwind and get comfortable.
Yeah, it's a different one, right? You usually, you know, 4 or 5 days is kind of the max that you feel comfortable leaving, leaving your home unattended, whatever. But we've got a house sitter that's taking care of our cats. That's actually going to stay
it's
there.
It's not me, is it?
There.
Because it's I am woefully
you.
Underprepared.
Ben
if
forgot
that's true.
If it was Ben.
No, it is not you. It's not
Paulie. I would make sure you get somebody to check on those cats.
Yeah, so, but you're right. And originally the trip was supposed to be 6-7 days like it was last year. And it was me that once I found out, I can take the equipment and do the show, I go, extend it. Make it, you can't get enough. I mean, look, if this works, I may just be here.
Why would you ever come back? If you can just do your work from there and, you know, it's available to you, there's no reason to ever come back.
I may just be your Hawaiian correspondent and just learn to live off the island.
Now, has anybody asked you in Hawaii to get them anything or run any errands for them or any favors?
Well, I've had a couple of concierge requests. I got one on the plane the other day, somebody wanting me to broker some tickets for them. And I said, buddy, I was packing for Hawaii. And I said, I would love to help you get rid of your Padres tickets, but I am unavailable at this point as I am packing for my trip. I am sorry. I don't have time to follow up on this. I did get a ticket request for, free Padres tickets. I will say again, just a reminder, we don't have extra Padres tickets lying around that I can just dole out to anyone anytime. So I have not been gotten any requests of like, hey, make sure you pick me up a blank from Hawaii. But like I said, I've got 9 more days after this. There's still plenty of time to get your requests in.
Good. Did you have any shave ice yet?
Not yet. Okay. So we got in again yesterday, and my father-in-law is such a G, man. You know, knowing we traveled all day, they grabbed the kids, and I walked out. I was in here with Paulie setting up the equipment to get ready for the broadcast, and I go, what is that smell? Do I smell pizza? And I walked out, and my man had delivered two giant pizzas, knowing we've been traveling, knowing nobody feels like going out, nobody feels like cooking. And he dropped off two big pizzas. He's like, these are for you guys. Here's some Cokes. You know, have a ball. Just his only fault is that he's a rabid Dodger fan. And launched right into, oh, what are the Padres going to do for the deadline? And I go, I don't want you to worry about your own team. You're only four games up. And I told Hannah last night, lying in bed, did any of us think the Padres would only be four games back in damn near August? Because I will raise my hand. I did not think that that was possible. And it's a combination of them playing like ass and us sometimes playing a little bit over our skis and winning a lot of close ball games and stacking some wins early in the season. But all in all, man, all told, pretty happy with where we are right now.
Me too. It was their pineapple on that pizza. Hawaiian
pizza.
It was
not. It was just pepperoni, okay. And which I don't eat. So I picked it off and just ate the cheese, and I had some salad, and it was great. It was great, man. I love it here. I showed Paulie, we did the FaceTime last night when he was helping me set up the gear, and I go, all right, here's the view out my window. These two chairs on the porch, if I die, this is the place I want to die, in these chairs. And I tweeted it last night. If you follow me on Twitter, at the Stephen Woods, after that walk-off, man, I tweeted that picture, and I just said, this is where you want to watch a walk-off from. It was really, really, it's really beautiful.
We're going to have a take on Woods and Jesse Agler coming up, but I know a lot of people are here. They are just tuning in at 8 o'clock, a little later in the morning. Want to hear more about last night's game. We talked about it a lot earlier. One thing we didn't bring up, though, Woods, and I do want to give him some due credit. Three more hits for Xander Bogaerts.
Yeah, man.
By the way, you know, obviously he's turned things around. I didn't even realize exactly how well he has turned things around. Since the middle of June, Xander Bogaerts is not only hitting .358, but his OPS is the seventh best in all of the National League. He is
fantastic.
He has turned from a completely hopeless batter into one of the better hitters in the National League. And that is, in my mind, one of the biggest developments here of the San Diego, if not the biggest development of the San Diego Padres 2025 season, because they're such a different lineup if you can actually count on Xander Bogaerts. And I think all of us felt for months, like Xander would come up and we really felt like, well, here comes an out. Here comes a ground ball to short and it's over. And now when he comes up, I'm actually excited to see Xander Bogaerts come to the plate. I'm expecting a line drive somewhere. Stung that one after the Arise home run and the Manny single. Just stung that one to left field for the double. Goes the other way with line drives. His swing really looks locked in right now. And whatever he did, credit to Xander Bogaerts for turning it around when a lot of us thought that was not going to be possible.
Boston Xander. I mean, really. And again, the confidence, you can see it in his face. You know, listen, it's one of those things where it's the hard part of a baseball season is trying to get everybody clicking on the same time. Luis Arise, you know, again, doing some weird stuff on the baseball field that I don't think that's ever going to change. I think we just need to come to accept he's going to do some weird stuff out there. You know, him getting, 11, 12 game hit streak right now.
11.
11 game hit streak right now. Manny Machado is as locked in as I think I've ever seen.
Six multi-hit games for Manny, I believe.
Yep. And, you know, the one guy you really feel like you need to get going right now is Gavin Sheets. He is really scuffling. And you know what, man? I think it's just part of a long season. And Gavin Sheets has carried this ball club at times, many, many times this season. So he gets a little bit of grace, you know, playing a ton of games, you know, playing in a new organization, just had a baby. If that baby's anything like that child that was on the plane with me yesterday, I can totally see why he's scuffling right now, because that was a total, total nightmare. Yeah, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. So we've got to get him going.
I think Gavin Sheets, I suspect this is a slump and not like a reversion to form. I think he'll come out of it at some point. However, I love the idea. If AJ Preller can add a bat or two here this week of dropping Gavin Sheets down in the order. Gavin Sheets in the 7 or 8 slot. You know, while he's not swinging quite as well, if you can get some better guys up there to pair with Bogaerts now and Merrill, who seems to be swinging a little bit better. And obviously, as you said, Machado and Arise and Tatis are all kind of getting sort of locked in at the same time. Then you really have a lengthened lineup, and that makes a real difference. And by the way, I'm not way too early to take a victory lap, but I did scream last week. How about Bryce Johnson getting a little more playing time? And he's gotten a little more playing time, and he's done stuff with it. He got two more hits yesterday, and, you know, he's making things happen. He's not necessarily, you know, stinging the ball all around the ballpark, but he's getting on base. His speed is dangerous, and, you know, for the options that the Padres have, I think he's the best option, at least at this moment, until they add. And when they do add, I don't want to see Bryce Johnson go anywhere. I'd love to have him coming off the bench more than maybe like a Trenton Brooks or someone else if they do add to the roster this week.
I don't think he's going anywhere, my friend. I think he is going to be a valuable bench piece, defensive replacement, and now, you know, a guy with a little confidence up at the dish, which I love. So good call, Benjamin. I know you like to be right. I'll say this for all to hear. You were right.
Thank you. Now, here's one that I think is a bit of a mind-bender. Don't know what AJ is going to do, but certainly there's been speculation that he could pick up a catcher to, you know, improve offensive production from that position. If he did, and you only had room for two catchers on your roster, which one do you keep?
I think my thing's cutting out. I can't hear anything. I don't know. What? Hello? Hello? Are you guys there? Hello? Spotty Hawaiian.
I would have, I mean, you know, 3 weeks ago I would have said, oh, you're keeping Diaz. Maldonado couldn't get, you know, a hit if his life depended on it. Then Diaz went into a giant slump. Maldonado started hitting a little bit, and I go, well, maybe Diaz is the guy to go. And then last night, of course, Diaz comes up with two massive hits, including the walk-off, and now I'm going, well, maybe it's Diaz. I mean, defensively, though, I mean, Diaz threw a just absolute awful throw to second base. I mean, Maldi's not been great all year long. The framing on both of them is highly questionable. But I don't know which one I would keep if I only if I could only keep one going forward. I mean, Diaz, obviously, you know, if they're catching for their jobs, Diaz made a nice little argument yesterday it should be him. But he had gone below 200 until yesterday. His two hits got him up back to 200, and his slugging's at 300. So neither has produced, and I don't know. I don't think you're picking up two catchers. So if you do pick up one, you're going to have to decide on which one you keep and which one you don't. And I don't know what the answer to that question is.
I mean, I think we all know the answer to that question. It's they're probably going to end up rolling with both. And just not addressing that position. I mean, listen, you know, you're a big tea leaf reader. My God, how many quotes do you need to see in the media? How many stories do you need to hear behind the scenes to know that Mike Schilt really loves these two catchers? He loves them. He loves them. He trusts them for all of their faults, for all of their egregious boxed balls and bad throws, and he loves both of them. And again, if you add to the bench, then maybe you live with that. Those guys are in the nine, and that's how we roll, and that's how we go out and compete in the playoffs if we get there.
I wonder, with Schilt, like, we know he loves these catchers, but he also loves every single guy on the team, like, to a fault, almost. Like, he will never talk poorly about any of his players. Wouldn't he love the new catcher that comes in, and he's like, oh, that's our guy, too? Like,
well, I mean, no, he's not going to talk poorly of them, but I think if you said to him, look, Mike, we did this and this, and T-Wade's got to go, and Bryce Johnson's got to go because we upgraded here, I don't think he's going to raise that big of a stink about a guy coming off the bench. I think he would potentially raise a stink about losing a Maldi or losing a Elias Diaz. I do. And again, just based on the things that he said to us.
I tend to think, though, again, hypothetical, but AJ could pull off a trade in the next 20 minutes and bring in a catcher, and they'll have to make that decision.
Yeah.
And if I had to guess, I think Maldi stays and Diaz goes.
I agree.
Which means it's not impossible that Diaz's last moment on the Padres was a walk-off single last night. Again, I think you're right. I think they'll probably both survive and they'll just go and roll with those guys at catcher the rest of the year. But it's not impossible that that could happen today, which would be one of the strangest occurrences probably in Elias Diaz's life.
It's like Ben just said, too, or I'm sorry, that Adam just said in the chat, we already missed out on Danny Jansen, who was moved from the Rays yesterday. And so it's not like there haven't been guys out there that they could have gone and snatched, and they just chose not to. So, you know, if the writing's on the wall, I think we're reading it pretty clearly. Let's upgrade in a couple of other different spots, and then it makes those nine-hole ABs not so important.
I I still would I would love if they could at least continue to explore a Kyle Higashioka reunion, because if you're going to bring in anybody,
Texas is hot now. Texas is red hot.
But if you're going to bring in anybody, that's a guy that Mike Schilt knows, everybody seems to love. Like, that's as seamless of a transition as you could possibly make mid-season.
Texas, though,
why trade him now?
Like the Padres, Texas is right at the luxury tax line, and this would be their third year going over. So they could do the old sell and buy thing. Sell on Kyle Higashioka, pick up somewhere else, and stay under the luxury tax, because they're getting to 50% penalties if they go over this year. So maybe Higashioka could be available even if they are still going for it moving forward. It's one of the many interesting questions with the trade deadline coming up on Thursday. Of course, 97.3, the fans' coverage of the MLB trade deadline is brought to you by Palomar Health, champions of healthcare, champions for you. And we'll have more on our roundtable coming up this Thursday morning at 10 o'clock, just in the hours before the Major League Baseball trade deadline. All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we are going to do Take on Woods. Woods is going to isolate himself in Hawaii for a couple of minutes while we play on this end with our contestant, and then we'll see if we can qualify someone for a trip to Las Vegas coming up next with Ben and Woods. Don't go anywhere. Be right back. 833-288-097 is the number if you want to be our contestant. Be right back here with more on 97.3 The Fan. Mike Schilt would not officially announce it yesterday before the game. I'm not sure if he did after the game, but Ryan Burgert was in the clubhouse yesterday, and the expectation is he'll be activated, called up, and will start game two of the Padres series tonight. We'll have a preview coming up in our final hour. I got some more trade rumors from Dennis Lynn of The Athletic, so we got plenty of Padres talk still on the way. Right now, though, before we get to Jesse Agler at the bottom of the hour, it is time to play today's game of Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. Take on Woods brought to you by Bail Arms, security and fire alarms for every business. We got you. Noel is our contestant, Woods, but you are going to, and if he maybe already has, he's going to back away from his computer. He's not going to listen to this, and we will text him as soon as we're done.
Now, I'm texting him right now. He's got his headphones off and turned down. I've killed audio. Like, he cannot hear
us. What's going on. So let's bring Noel on. Noel, welcome to Take on Woods. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. You know how our game works? 5 questions of musical trivia?
Yes.
All right. Let's get to it. You'll get to pick our category today. If you can beat or tie Woods, you will qualify for our grand prize drawing. 2-night stay at the MGM, Park MGM in Las Vegas. 2 tickets to Motley Crue on September 19th and a $100 gas card. Get your own tickets for Motley Crue and their Las Vegas residency at Ticketmaster.com. All right. Here are your choices. We've got Mothers and Fathers, 5 song titles that include either mother or father. Not on Any Map, 5 songs whose titles are fictional places. And our new category today is Get Out, 5 song titles or artists that all contain out in their name. So, Mothers and Fathers, Not on Any Map, or Get Out. Noel, what would you like to play?
I'll do Get Out.
Get Out, our new category again. So, again, this is either a song title or an artist, but they all contain the word out, O-U-T, in their name. You'll have 60 seconds. If you don't know an answer, you can pass. We'll come back to it if there's time left on the clock. First question, the 2-second song. Polly will play you a little music. You need to give me both the song title and the artist to score that point. And I'll give Polly a second to cue it up here for us. All right, so the category is Get Out. Paul, you ready?
Yes.
All right, let's put 60 seconds on the clock. Noel, your time begins when Paul plays our music. Again, title and artist. Good luck. Let's take on Woods. Here we go.
I'm lying alone with my head on the phone.
Oh my gosh. I have no idea.
Game pass. Ms. Jackson and Hey Ya are 2 of the top hits for which Atlanta hip hop duo?
I'm going to pass.
Okay, the Rockies' Charlie Blackman was always well known for his walk-up song Your Love by which English band from the
80s? Charlie no idea.
Let's go. Anxiety is the theme for which 2014 song that became the first top 10 hit for 21 Pilots?
It's a song by 21 Pilots.
Yep. No. Let's go with Hall and Oates sing, "But I'm Out of My Head When You're Not Around."
Out of time.
Not going to go so well. All right.
I don't think that's going to hold up.
All right. Should I give the... Well, I'll just leave the answers out for now, and we'll let just Woods just play. We can get right back on. There he is. All right, Woodsy.
Are you there?
Hello, gang. Yep.
See how you do in this category.
I minimized the chat, and yep. I sat here in silence. I turned the headphones down and everything.
All right. Noel's score is locked in. You'll get same 60 seconds, same five questions. Let's cue things up. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Noel.
I'm lying alone with my head on the phone.
I'm All Out of Love by Air Supply.
Correct. Ms. Jackson and Hey Ya are two of the top hits for which Atlanta hip hop. Correct. The Rockies' Charlie Blackman was always well known for his walk up song Your Love by which English band from the 80s?
The Outfield.
Correct. Anxiety is the theme for which 2014 song that became the first top 10 hit for 21 Pilots.
Stressed Out.
Correct. Hall and Oates sing, "But I'm Out of My Head When You're Not Around," in which 1984 hit?
When You're Not Around. I'm Out of Touch.
Out of Touch! And we have a 5 out of 5, which makes Noel's score fairly irrelevant in this game. I'll just congratulate Woods on a well-played game today.
Yeah, thank you, Woodsy.
Bam. Even three time zones away with a slight delay, he nailed that category called Get Out.
Get Out. I did not know the categories.
All Out of Love, Outcast, Out, and Out of Touch. All right, we will come back. Jesse Agler is here in San Diego. He will join us for the Incorporator, talk about last night's walk-off win. He got to call the walk-off winner from Elias Diaz, and we'll talk to the voice of the Padres when we come back next here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Let me walk you guys first through the range of emotions that I felt on Sunday when the Tier 1s went out to play a game. And I slid into second base to try to break up a double play, and I landed very, very hard on my right wrist, and I jammed my wrist. And I came back to the dugout, and I go, oh, no, Paulie, all that work that QC Kinetics did on my wrist, I jammed it. And it's still a little bit tender, but the good news is I know exactly what I'm doing the minute I get home to San Diego. I'm going right back into QC Kinetics because I had a lot of the same pain in my wrists before, got treatment, and fixed me right up. So it's kind of cool to know what I can expect from QC Kinetics. And if you woke up this morning and your knees are screaming at you, your back screaming at you, tough to walk up and down stairs, right? Groaning every single day. Listen, it's not going to go away. Surgery is an option. It's not the best option. The best option is to go talk to the medical pros at QC Kinetics. That's exactly what I'm going to do as soon as I get back, assuming this thing doesn't heal on its own. But it's been a life changer for me. Can do all the things that I love to do now because of QC Kinetics. So they will take a look also at your x-rays and MRIs that you have. This is a great place to go get a second opinion. All right. We are talking about natural cellular therapies, no scalpels, no pills, long-term relief with no dreaded recovery. And listen, it's a free consultation. So worst case, you learn something new. Best case, you get your life back. Grab the phone right now. Give them a call today. Locations in Hillcrest and Torrey Hills. 619-614-PAIN. 619-614-PAIN. Once again, 619-614-PAIN. Let them know Woodsy sent you, please.
What a game last night at Petco Park. And we've got Jesse Agler standing by, ready to talk all about it. He's back from the Padres' 10-game road trip, and we will get to Jesse right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. And joining us, as he does each and every Tuesday morning during the baseball season, the voice of the San Diego Padres, Jesse Agler. And I did hear on the TV broadcast last night, Mud Grant said he literally kissed the tarmac at Lindbergh Field when you guys landed after the hottest, stickiest 10-game road trip you could probably put together in a Major League Baseball season. How nice was it to be back, Jesse?
It was very nice, yeah. I mean, it's funny because, you know, we are very fancy travel setup, obviously. You know, we don't go through the terminal. So when we get off the plane, we get off in fresh air. Like, you know, the plane parks at the north ramp at the airport there, and there's just a stair car that comes up, and we walk right down onto the buses. And so you get the fresh air immediately. And I think every single person, you know, there's whatever, 70 whatever of us, I think, in the traveling party, every single person who took that first step outdoors when we landed on Sunday night probably had the exact same feeling. It was the most refreshing, wonderful breath you could ever take after that road trip. You know, 71 degrees or whatever it was at the airport, and we just all were like, oh my gosh, thank goodness we're back.
Jesse, when I'm driving around San Diego and you are in my ears, you always sound great. I don't even know that you know how good you sound on the island of Kauai, which is what I experienced yesterday in the car when we got the rental car that took 50 minutes to get, put you guys on immediately, and hearing your voice in the beautiful islands, you actually sounded better and you sounded more refreshed in Kauai than you do, you know, other times. It was very strange.
I think that might be you. I think you might. Yeah, it could be. Where? What part of the island are you staying on, by the way?
Honolulu Bay.
That might be my favorite place in the world, Kauai.
It is my favorite place in the world. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. I told these guys earlier too. I said off the air. I said, you know, anytime you have a comeback win, it's pretty special. Down that much that early and able to come back and win that game. I mean, by the skin of your teeth. But after, like you just said, that road trip, it would have been really easy to just go, well, here we go. We're back, and everyone's kind of gassed, and Dylan Cease has served it up, and we're down. It's a win that feels like two.
It's the hardest team in the world to figure out because, you know, there's all these games, right, where it seems like they score a couple of runs early and then nothing, and often they hang on and win that game, let's be fair. But then you have games like yesterday where they look like that, you know, ferocious offense that they were for most of the second half last year that was just machine-like. And, you know, that, as you said, was incredibly impressive when you consider, you know, just sort of the gnarly nature of that road trip and the weather. And, you know, we didn't get back late, but we didn't get back early either on Sunday night. And as you said, you're down early. I think a lot of teams in that exact situation probably would have looked like they were packing it in. And these guys just aren't like that. You know, that's just not the personality of this team. And that's probably the ultimate compliment you can give a team is that, you know, they're not going to roll over, even with all those circumstances kind of stacked up against them. And it's a fun group. It's a really fun group. They're hard to figure out. I still don't know, you know, what the real Padres are in 2025. It seems like every time you have a pretty good sense of what they might be, you know, you see something a little bit different. All I know is they play their tails off, you know, each and every night. And, I mean, they had a sloppy one, I think it was Friday in St. Louis. It was very sort of out of character, and it felt weird. And, you know, they did some dumb things on the bases, which they don't usually do. They kicked some balls around in a way they don't usually do. And it was like, ooh, that was kind of ugly. And since then, they've played such good, sound baseball, such exciting baseball, such fun baseball. And, you know, they refuse to roll over when they're down in any way. And, you know, last night, obviously, a tremendous example of that. One of the wackiest games we've seen all year.
Well, it was. And, you know, like an infinite number of things can happen during a baseball game. But if you ever, like, put together a bingo card of things that could happen, a grand slam, an ejection, a walk-off, you know, a pitcher getting hit by a line draw, that game had about as many spots on the bingo board covered as you're going to get, Jesse. I mean, I can't imagine that you've seen a variety of things happen like you did in the game last night.
It's funny. I think I actually said at one point last night, you know, I don't know if we had that on the bingo card. I mean, it really was one of those games because, like you said, and I mean, even, you know, the double that began the Padre rally in the bottom of the fifth inning, you know, Beatty kind of like slid and kicked it all the way over to the line. I mean, it was like the home run robbery Fernando had, and then that guy coming back and hitting the grand slam the next inning. I mean, it's like, you know, it's just the beautiful stupidity of baseball, as I always call it. I mean, it's the dumbest game, but that's part of why we love it so much. And yeah, last night it was kind of a drunk game from the start. You know, even the top of the first inning, you know, if you just kind of look down at the box score and you see that he struck out three guys, you'd be like, oh, he got off to a great start. But like, it was a very dicey, if there can be such a thing, striking out the side. I mean, he threw a ton of pitches. It was kind of in and out, a couple three ball counts in there. You know, he gets the result, but even like that inning, it felt like, well, there was nothing straightforward about that. Even though he struck out the side, it was like, well, boy, even that was a little bit, you know, crazy. So, I mean, from Jump Street last night, you know, nothing about the game was straightforward or normal. And it's always a lot more fun when you come out on the right side of a game like that.
Jesse, we just had this conversation before we brought you on, and really, really interesting numbers out of the catching position going into last night's game. Padres catchers, had posted the following numbers with runners in scoring position this season. 17 weighted runs created plus. That's the worst in the big leagues. 399 OPS, worst in the big leagues. 188 WOBA, worst in the big leagues. 135 batting average, worst in the big leagues. And, of course, Elias Diaz comes up and gets the game-winning knock. He had had horrific numbers in high leverage with runners in scoring position. You know, and we just had this conversation. Everybody has been saying all season, well, we need to upgrade. We need to upgrade. My take is if you can upgrade some other areas, it makes those numbers not so bad, right? I mean, they're able to pull some of the weight off of those guys. And I do get the sense Schilte really loves these guys. You're around the team all the time. What is your sense of not only what the Padres are going to do at the deadline, but do you think that they will actually go out and try to upgrade that position?
There's a lot to break down there, and it's a really good question or series of questions. Let me start with this. I think they are a lot more comfortable with those two guys than probably most of the fans are. I think, you know, if that's not obvious by now, I do think that's like a fair way to look at it. Generally speaking, catcher is different than any other position when you're talking about, you know, the trade deadline and making moves. And, you know, I mean, they brought in Austin Nola in 2020, and that worked out well, at least in the short term. And it's just not a simple thing to do. You have these relationships that begin in spring training between the pitchers and the catchers. And there's sort of a critical thing, you know, that is sort of, you know, batoned on over the course of the season. And, you know, those dynamics are real. And that trust that is not given but earned by the catchers is real. And so a new guy who might not know anybody jumping in, that's not an automatic win. Like, just because he's got good numbers in Atlanta or Minneapolis or wherever doesn't mean he's just going to come in and be himself. Now, that's true of anybody at the trade deadline, but the catcher thing is more complicated than bringing in an outfielder or a reliever or something like that. So I think, you know, you have to remember that whenever you're having a conversation. Another thing I would say is, you know, if you look at all the success the Padres have had pitching wise this year, you have to give a good amount of that credit to these catchers. So you have to keep that in mind. And then, as you said, if you're getting a little bit extra somewhere else, does that cover up the lack of production you've gotten at times from that position? Absolutely. I'll take it a step further. If you get more of what you'd expect out of your big column four, same thing, right? It's even without adding another guy. If Arise is going to get on the tear it looks like he's getting on and get his numbers back to where they usually are, if Jackson Merrill, you know, gets hot or something like that, again, you're not thinking about it. Tony made a comment a couple of weeks ago, and it was almost like offhand, but I loved it so much. You know, when you're talking about the bottom of the batting order, I don't know if you want to call that the bottom three, the bottom four, the bottom five. But he says, you know, in the middle of like a rally or trying to kickstart something, he says, you just need them to do one thing. You need to get one thing out of those guys, you know, to kind of get something going. And, you know, whether that means, you know, something as small as a ground ball to the right side to move a runner or just a non-empty at bat in a situation or a walk, even a hit by pitch. If you get one thing from those guys down at the bottom, it's going to be okay. Remember, the fifth inning was set up because in the previous inning, Bryce Johnson got on base with two outs. That got Diaz up. Diaz, I think, struck out to end the inning, but that meant that Fernando was going to be able to lead off in the bottom of the fifth. He ends up doubling off of Beatty, and that began that whole big rally. So if Bryce Johnson doesn't get on base, this sort of easy-to-forget two-out single in the bottom of the fourth inning, you have Diaz leading off in the fifth, and who knows how that inning ends up going. So, I mean, that one thing that Bryce Johnson did that's so easy to forget about because there were a million other things that happened was probably critical to the Padres winning that game last night, or at least taking the lead in that moment. So, you know, there's a lot there. I know this. I know this question began with the catchers. Look, I don't know what to expect because it's AJ and anything is on the table. Everything is on the table as always with him. But if they did not upgrade or quote change the catcher position, I would not be shocked. I'll say that.
I love that comment from Tony, because that's how I watch games as well. When the 7, 8, 9 hitters are coming up, I always think to myself, there's a good chance that they're not going to score this inning, or they could be a big inning, because if those guys do, a couple of those guys do something, then you've got guys on base for the top of the order. Right. This could be a zero, but it could be like a five. So I never want to miss what might happen there at the bottom of the order. Before we get to the incorporator, Jesse, we talked about it when you called the triple play to clinch the playoffs last year, but I'm always interested in the mechanics of a walk-off and like how prepared you were for, you know, had a couple opportunities there in the bottom of the ninth inning and kind of what's going through your mind as Diaz is stepping to the plate.
You know, last night, it's funny because the conversation Tony and I had when we were speed walking to our cars last night was about how like our brain stopped functioning in about the seventh inning yesterday. It was, you know, it's a three and a half hour game coming off that road trip. And it was just like, oh my gosh, like there were a couple of times like late in that game last night where I had to go to my Larry choice because I just couldn't get to the first or second word. It was like, my brain was just like shutting down on me. And so, you know, by the time we got to the bottom of the ninth inning and you kind of realized everything was on the line, all I was thinking about was like locked in and focused on this pitch. I wasn't trying to look up any cool, fun information. I wasn't, you know, trying to overdo, you know, any kind of big picture analysis. I was like, let me just make sure that I get whatever happens right, because my brain was not firing on all cylinders. So it was nothing, nothing too interesting in my head at that moment. It was just, hey, stay locked in on every pitch. You know, report what happens and let the moment kind of speak for itself. And that was obviously a lot of fun last night.
That was a good call. I mean, you had to know if it's a single, is it going to be deep enough or is it too hard to score the runner? You're watching that guy from second and you clearly were right on top of that with Iglesias running home. So, all right, let's get to the Incorporator. Of course, Woods is in Hawaii. So, you know, we like to do themes if we can. And we decided. No,
not rooster.
Not rooster.
Well, we could do the other word for a rooster, but I don't think that would fly on the broadcast.
Paulie, if you would.
Haole.
Yeah.
Haole. It's the Hawaiian word for a non-Hawaiian person who comes to the islands, kind of an interloper, haole.
Yeah, an interloper. Like that's what I am.
The carpetbagger of Hawaii.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, like Woods
exactly
is a haole
right
this week, so that's the
love it.
That's your word for tonight. Good luck, and good luck to the Padres, and welcome home. It's good to have you back in San Diego, at least for a week. Where do you guys go next after this week again?
Just three games in Arizona, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh, that's survivable.
Nice. Yeah, and then back home for Boston next weekend.
All right.
Nice. Yeah, get some golf in out there in Arizona, Jesse.
115, very nice.
Yeah, it's lovely. Thank you, brother.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, man.
Jesse Agler, voice of the Padres and the Incorporator. Mahalo, that means thank you.
Yes, it does.
Aloha means many things.
Yes, it does.
Hello.
It does. My ohana is they're up and walking around.
Oh, those your kids?
Room. Yeah, the family, ohana. It's a very important word here. And, yeah, they're up and running around watching Happy Gilmore 2. Again. For the 70.
Big hit.
Quick review. Paulie gave us his review yesterday. Your quick review.
It came out Friday. They have not stopped watching it since. They've watched it every day, multiple times a day. It's okay. I mean, it's a sequel and they've brought back all kinds of, you know, throwbacks and whatever. It's good for what it is. It's not, necessarily for me. It's for them. So, I've caught bits and pieces of it here and there. And I don't think I'll sit down and give it a full run through, to be honest with you. But they seem to enjoy it, which makes me very happy. They are way, way into it. And, hey, you know what? If Bo was actually talking yesterday about getting some golf swings in, so if that maybe gets him going and wants to go out and play some golf, then I think that's ultimately a good thing.
You and Paulie were of like mind. That was pretty much Paulie's review. It was a sequel. It was what you expect from a sequel. You didn't.
It became
it
a game of like who's going to be the next cameo.
I got
like 75
a list
cameos.
Of like the 75 gratuitous cameos that happened in the movie.
Like if it was like 10 or 15, I think that would be lame. Like it got to the point where like, well, this is just what the movie is now, and now I got to see who's playing this role and who's this character and all that. And then after that, like it was entertaining enough to keep you locked in for the most part.
Yeah, Paulie, your wife nailed it. Bad Bunny, he was fantastic.
He was outstanding.
Now my kids, you know, I said, oh, that's Bad Bunny, and they've been obsessed with Bad Bunny ever since. They hadn't heard, you know, much of his music or anything, but why do they call him Bad Bunny? Is he bad? I said, you know, these are all things we can talk about on the beach later.
All right, by request, a little early Rindle report coming your way to kick off our 9 o'clock hour. That is next. Don't go anywhere. We got a shout out to his family, unfortunately, as well. Ahead with Ben and Woods here on 97.3 The Fan. We got 1 hour to go.